Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Sanhedrin Ayin Beis. We begin at the Mishnah actually on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, which is six lines off the bottom of the Amud. Ben Soireir Umayra, so this straying son, Nidoin Al Shem Seifa, he's convicted on account of the future as a preventative measure. Because, you know, in terms of current status, has he really committed such grave sins which would justify a skila, misa? Rather, yamos zakai, the point is, let him die rather innocent. Meaning, before he gets to more severe infractions. Val yamos chayev, as opposed to letting him just be, and perhaps developing that, you know, addictive, destructive behavior which can lead him to become a professional robber and murderer. Right? Shemisasun shall reshine, because ultimately when a Rasha dies, hano lehen v'hano le'olam, good for them and good for their surroundings, they don't harm anybody else. So it's something positive to spare the world of Rishayim or potential Rishayim, as opposed to death to tzaddikim, which is unfortunate. But tzaddikim ra lahem, bad for them because they can no longer learn Torah, says Rashi. V'ra la'olam, it's a loss for the world as well, because Rashi says when they learn Torah, they protect the world. Magina al hador, the generation is protected through them. Next item is yayin v'shein al rishayim, wine and sleep. For a wicked person, great, let him sleep all the time. Hano lahem, no lahem, good for them, good for everybody else. But the same behavior, if applied to a tzaddik, is a loss. La tzaddikim ra lahem, bad for them, ra lo ilam, and for their surroundings. Pizur l'rishayim, when rishayim disperse and can't really sit together and plot and scheme, hano lahem, gain for them and for everybody else. But when tzaddikim cannot, come together and join and ra lahen, ra la'olam, it's unfortunate for them and for the world. Kinus l'rishayim, conversely, when rishayim get together, ra lahen, ra la'olam, bad all around. But tzaddikim is great. Hano lahen, ra la'olam, shekel rishayim, tranquility for rishayim, gives them time to make trouble, ra lahem, ra la'olam. But yishuv hadas for tzaddikim is the best thing, hano lahem, la tzaddikim, hano lahem, hano la'olam. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yisrael Glili Aymer. We have a question. V'chi mipnei she'achal zeh tartim ar-basar. V'she'asal hatzilu giyayin, just because this young man had a rather large serving of meat and wine, v'chatz b'she'asal hatzilu giyayin italki. Do you think that's really the reason why he's dying? Amra Torah Yetzi LeBezin LeSakel. That's why Torah is telling him to go for skila, just because he had some wine. And Ella, rather, the point is, it's preventative. We anticipate something really bad down the road. Higia Torah LeSev Date. Torah really understood the mindset, the depth of his interior thinking. Shoben Seder Meir Shosayif Megamer Nichsi Aviv. Eventually, it's going to really develop into a lifestyle, sort of. He's going to deplete his father's assets, take his credit card up to the limit, right? And then he's going to look to support his habit, his addiction, and he won't have any money. Out of desperation, the Parshas Rachim goes out to the crossroads, and he robs, and he steals, and he kills. And therefore, you're right. He hasn't yet done it, but Amra Torah tells us, you know what? Nip it at the bud. Yomos zakai val yomos chayev. Shemisashon shal rishoyim. And the Brisa continues pretty much on the same line as the Mishnah. Just read it all the way down to the next Mishnah. It's almost our Mishnah verbatim. Shemisashon shal rishoyim hano lahem v'hano la'olam. L'tzadikim ra lahem ra la'olam. Shein aviyayin l'rishoyim hano lahem v'hano la'olam. L'tzadikim ra lahem ra la'olam. Shekel l'rishoyim ra lahem ra la'olam. L'tzadikim hano lahem v'hano la'olam. Pizza l'rishoyim hano lahem v'hano la'olam. L'tzadikim ra lahem ra la'olam. Continues the Mishnah with another example of preventative medicine. Habavach teres, a person who's burglarizing a home. Okay, he's breaking in. He's intruding. The Torah says, Ein loy damim. Now we're going to have this term recurring throughout the Gemara again and again. So let's just try to understand and define it. What does the pasuk mean? Ein loy damim. He has no blood. It means to say his life is non-existent, so to speak, at this point, because since he's threatening others, he has now forfeited his life. You can go kill him as a preventative measure, out of self-defense. But in some cases, like if it's a father intruding on his son's house, well, he's just there for the money, he's not going to kill his son. So he's not considered a roideh, he's not a pursuer, he's not threatening him life, in terms of his life. So that's called yesh lo damim. He has life, he has blood. The father, the intruder is considered like a human being, meaning a living human being who you may not kill. Okay? So Abba Machteres, the allowance to kill an intruder is nidan al shem seif. It's because we judge him on account of the future. We expect him to pose a very serious threat to the homeowner if confronted by him. Therefore, it's allowed. Mutar lahorga, one is allowed to kill him. Hayyiba machteres. Now, here comes an interesting point. If the god of intruding is tunneling into the home, v'shavar sachavis, and bingo, he broke something on the way and he broke a barrel. Now, we know the halacha is that when a person commits a sin which makes him liable to death, and at that very moment, simultaneously, he does something which makes him liable to monetary obligations, right? Remunerations, compensations, tashlum. We say kimle b'drabe mine, we apply the most severe punishment, which is misa, and he becomes exempt from everything else. Here as well, a bab machteres is liable to death. It's as though he's getting a death penalty, because theoretically he can be killed on the spot, right? And therefore he's potter from any monetary liabilities that may have arisen simultaneous to that intrusion into the home. Right? So it depends. If this fellow is not liable to misa, let's say it's the father burglarizing his son's home, so one may not kill this father. He doesn't really pose, it's not a life-threatening situation. So if the father, the burglar, breaks something on his way in, he has to pay because he's not really chayev misa. But on the other hand, if he's has forfeited his life, if he's posed as, he's viewed as a threat to the homeowner, in which case you're allowed to kill him, so it's like he's chayev misa, and if he does commit something at that very moment, he's exempt from it. Right? If he has monetary liabilities arising from his intrusion, right? And again, it's happening simultaneous with his chayev misa and his pater. Amar Rava, my time of the machteres. Why is it so? The Torah allows one to kill a burglar. Why? What type of serious bodily threat is he posing? I mean, he's just trying to get your money. No. He's ready to kill. He's ready to kill the homeowner if challenged by him. Chazaka, we know it's an established fact. And the Ganav knows this. Ein adam ma'amid atzmei. A person does not contain himself. Alma money, when his money is being taken away. V'hai, so this Ganav knows full and well. Meima armor. He's saying to himself, Ya zilna, when I get into the house, and I meet the homeowner who confronts me, he's not going to allow me to proceed. And if in fact he confronts me, I'm going to kill him, and therefore the Torah says, kill him first. Preemptive strike. Therefore the Torah instructs you, if you perceive that somebody's threatening you, get up and kill him first. A bigger chiddush, habab machteres not al kelim. Not only if you happen to break something on the way, even if he took something, he drove away the car. He broke into the garage and drove away the Jaguar. Even if it's still there. Even if he took it home, it still exists. My time, why? Does he get to keep it? He acquired it through his blood. With his blood, which means to say, again, since he's chayav misa, he need not remunerate. He need not compensate the owner. It's not only if it broke or damaged, need he not pay? He need not pay back even an item which is intact. It's his. Rav perceives this as a chiv tashlumin, and just like any other monetary obligation, he's exempt from this as well. Amar Rav, no. Mustafa Mil said to Rav, it appears that Rav's case was only b'shashivar, when he broke something. Okay, the lesson was that doesn't exist, so it's a question of remuneration, he's potter. Aval nata, what if he actually took the item and he has it? Lo, you can't keep it. Velikim, Amar Rav, but Rav continues, the notion of a shvur, velikim, the name of Hashem, Amar Rav, I happen to know that Rav expanded this halacha to even when he has the car sitting in his garage. Afilu nata, why? What's this based on? Because it belongs to him. He was kind of the Yesh Lo Damim. Because look at the case that we discussed of Yesh Lo Damim. So in a case where you may not kill the ganav, right? Vinensu, and he took an item and some accident happened, it was taken away from him. Is he responsible? Chayev, of course he is. So a ganav is chayev to pay even for an oinus. So apparently, he's not just holding a pikadon, he's not just a shomer entrusted with something. It's like it's his. Alma b'shusei kami, apparently. When the ganav has something, it's like it belongs to the ganav. He's fully responsible as though it's his own item. Hachanam here as well. I mean, in our case, when he's chayev misa for breaking into the home, b'shusei kami, when he took the item, it's his. Right? So, even though it's around, we don't say it's a pikadain. We don't say it goes back to the owner. It wasn't entrusted with an item. It's b'rishusay. It's b'achar yusay, says Rashi. He's fully responsible. It's like it's his. And if the bezin should insist that he returns it, it's like tashlumin. It is viewed like a repayment. And you can't do double jeopardy. You can't obligate him to pay if it comes together with a chiv misa. Interesting point. But Rava himself disagreed. He says he's taking it too far. You're right. The Torah considers it his regarding responsibilities, regarding looking after the item. Yeah. Regarding acquisition, it's not his. It still belongs to the owner. I'll even bring you a classic precedent that is chayv v'aynes, but still belongs to the owner. Your standard borrower, right? You borrow a car. Who has to look after it? Who's fully responsible? The borrower. Even Aynes is responsible, but he has to give it back. He can't just keep it, right? Okay? Can't even offer, you know, remuneration for the car. You have to give back the actual car. Apparently, it can go together. You can be chayv Aynes on one hand, but still owe back the car. Same thing over here. Tanan, let's try to resolve this question, right? So Rav has a chpi chidush, Baba Machteres, he's chayev misa. Even if he steals an item and he has the item in his possession, he did not give it back. Rav disagreed. So now, let's look at the Mishnah. And we'll see how far we take this halacha. Is it only by damages or even by actually stealing? Baba Machteres, Shibiras Achavitz, Yeshle Domen. Chayev Eile Domen Pot. Okay, that's the case in the Mishnah. He broke something. Yeshle Domen, if one may not kill this person because he's not posing a serious threat to the homeowner, let's say it's a father to a son, so then he has to pay, the ganav has to pay for the damages, because he's not really chayv misa, but engle dom, otherwise he's potter. Time of the shiva, apparently it's because he broke something. Tiche engle dom and potter, in which case he forfeited his life, so he's potter from payment as well. Hana, I thought if he actually took the item and he has it, lo, you can't say he's exempt. It's a kashan rav, who says he is. Says the gemara, hua din afilu not al nami, perhaps it applies even if he actually took the item and he has it, v'adu katani shavar, so chavar, the reason why Mishnah stressed the case of the breakage, Kamashma, on the point of the Mishnah was, Tchi Yeshle Damim, that, in a case of Yeshle Damim, Afagav the Shiver, even if he just broke something, Nam Yichayv, Zosah Chayv. Well, Pshita, obviously, you break something, you have to pay, Mazaku. How Kamashma, on the point is, Afilu, Shalai B'Kavan, if it was done inadvertently, even, right, by accident, he's still Chayv. Well, that's also an obvious halacha. My Kamashma, what's the point of teaching us this point? Adam Wod Lo'ilam, you're telling me that a person is always liable? Of course. Tanina, we have a Mishnah back in Maseches Bava Kamma. We all learned that, right? Oh, the mod loyalam person is always liable for his actions. Whether he knows, he doesn't know it. Right? A person has to look after himself in the kasha. So it's in fact a kasha, which we're not going to answer at this point. Moser Abibra Abay Abakash. Mishnah says, Hagoinev Kispes Shabbos. Okay? Again, in line with the same concept that you can't do a double conviction, right? If he gets Chiv Misa, he doesn't have Chiv Moment. Okay? Hagoinev Kispes Shabbos, Chayev. Let's say he walks into the guy's house, he picks up his wallet, in which case he's now coin of the wallet, and he walks outside with it, committing a malacha of carrying in the street, which is Chilul Shabbos. But since the act of stealing took place prior to the malacha, he's chayef to pay back. Shevir is chayef begnevi because he became chayef for the stealing, for the robbery, koidim sheyafai prior to coming with the Isra Shabbos. Now, hayim gara v'yotze, let's say he was dragging out of the house into the street. So the masa kinyan only took place when he took it out of the house, you know, into the street, potter. In this case, he's potter to pay back. Shevir isu geneva v'yisru skila ba'an kecha because it's happening simultaneously. The malacha and the geneva happening together at the same time. Now, we're assuming that he still has the wallet and he's still potter to pay it back. That's a right to rav. But even if you have it, it's considered repayment, which you're exempt from. And the Gemara concludes, the conclusion was, no, the Shadinu Benar, a fellow tossed the wallet into the river, he doesn't have it anymore, it's a question of compensation from which he's potter. Here comes an interesting story with Rava himself, Rava who disagreed with Rav and said that if the Ganav still has it, he has to pay it back. He had a personal story involving himself. Ignubule dichri p'machtarta. Some thieves stole his rams, machtarta, you know, through burglarizing him. So they were basically forfeiting their lives by doing so. You would think, but you think that since they still have it, they have to return it. Adrinu nele, they gave it back to him. They returned the items to him, and he did not accept the delivery. V'loi kablinu. Even though Rav himself held that they're obligated to repay the item that they still have. Omar, he said, Hoyel v'nafak mipumi de Rav, since Rav expressed himself otherwise, out of respect to Rav, I will not take back my items. Isn't that a beautiful story? Tana Rabban, ein lo dam. Let's look at the pasuk now, okay? He has no damim, right? He's forfeited his life. Im zorcho lo Hashem esholof. If the sun shone on him, shone only shines on the ganav. V'chi Hashem is olav v'adzorcha ella. It's a metaphor. It's a mashal. Im baru l'cha adavar k'shem, she'en lo yishalom imcha hargeyu. If you know, like clear, like sun, like day, that he has no peace with you, meaning to say that you're threatened by the ganav, you have a right to kill him. V'im la, but if you're not sure, hold back. Any element of uncertainty, step back and withhold. Al targeyu. So according to Bryson number one, unless you know for sure that you have a right to kill him, you cannot do so. Tani idach, we have another Bryson, which goes the other way. Default position is kill him, unless you know otherwise. Im zorcha Hashem ish'olav, damim loy. What does that mean? V'chi Hashem ish'olav bad zorcha, sun only shines on the ganav. Ela rade im baruch Hashem ish k'shemesh, sheyesh lo yishalom imcha. Al ta hargeyu. V'im lav hargeyu, unless you know for sure, like sun, like day, clear like day, that he's at peace with you, meaning he's not threatening you. He's not going to do anything to you. So then you hold back, you don't kill him. But otherwise, if there's any level of uncertainty, you can kill him. Now, that seems to be an open contradiction between one Bryce and the other. Kashya stama stama. First Bryce says, if you're not sure, you can't kill him. Second Bryce says, unless you know for sure, otherwise you could kill him. The Kashya depends on what we're speaking about. Kan b'avala ben, typically if it's a father intruding on his son, then Rachmanas and the Ava of a father assures us that he's not really threatening this kid. So here, unless you know otherwise, you can't kill him. Khan, but the other Bryce, Ben al-Av, is speaking of the sons, breaking into the father's place. His feelings aren't so strong, and therefore, their default position is liable to death unless you know otherwise. Amar Rav. Kodosi aloib machtart, any Ghana that comes tunneling into my house, continually I'll kill him on the spot. Levar, except for one person, Rav Chanina bar Shila. Why? Why is it different? My time. Ilay Mishun de Tzadik, maybe because he was a righteous man. How cause machtart, if he's robbing his house, he's not much of a tzadik. That can't be the reason. Ella Mishun de Kimli begave de Mrachmolai. I know for a fact that he loves me, Kirachma Balben, like a father to his son. Turn up on him. Damimlai again means that the Ghana is viewed as a living man, you can't kill him. Bein b'chol b'mishabbos, whether it happened during the weekday or Shabbos, we're going to see in a minute what this means. And then it says, ein lo damim. Conversely, if he has no damim, he's threatening you, in which case you can kill him, that applies, again, bein b'chol b'mishabbos. Now, what's the point of the price? B'shleimah, ein lo damim, bein b'chol b'mishabbos. Now, the second part, that you can kill him, whether it's weekday or Shabbos, that's a chiddush. Israel, there's a point of mentioning that. I mean, perhaps I would say, perhaps you compare it to those that are killed by the Bezdin, because remember, he's also liable to death, right? Chiv Misa. So perhaps you compare it to the standard din of the Bezdin. The Shabbos, like a cleaner, we learned back on that flamet, hey, we don't do Misa on Shabbos in the Bezdin. The point is, no. Here it's different, the Katlina, we can kill him. Rashi says, well, it's Pekuach Nefesh, right? So that's understood. Elo Damim Loi, what about the first part of the Brisa? Damim Loi applies Bein B'chayel B'Meshabbos. Means you can't kill him either way. I mean, obviously, Hashta B'chayel Katlina, if you can't kill him on a Wednesday, B'Shabbos and Boy, how could you kill him on Shabbos? I mean, if anything, right? Shabbos is more reason not to kill him. On Sheishes, the point is, L'Nitzrach, the point is, for a different point altogether. Elo L'Fakech L'Vesakal. Let's say, as he's tunneling into the house, the building collapsed. The gal, he has a pile of stones. Now, should he be mechal on Shabbos, get a shovel and clear it out, perhaps, to try to save him? The point is no. Right? It's his doing. He threatened you. And so even though damim loy, even though it's a situation where you wouldn't be allowed to kill him outright, but you don't go to the extent of saving him on Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan. Okay, so the fellow is tunneling into the home, vuhuka, and he got struck, and he dies. Vuhuka means b'chal adam. Anybody can do that, even a neighbor. Umeis means b'chal misa, yachal misa. You can kill him any way that's feasible. Now, b'shlem vuhuka b'chal adam istrich. I understand the point of the first part of the statement. Anybody's allowed to kill him, not only the homeowner. So that I'm perhaps I would say, b'alabayis who the kim lay, dein adam ma'amid atzma l'maynei. Perhaps only the homeowner who knows he's being threatened, because as we said, the robber expects him to confront him. So perhaps there we say he's a roidev, he's a pursuer, he's threatening him, you can kill him. Aval acher, but a neighbor, loy. Perhaps a neighbor has no right to do that. Until you actually see him pursuing the homeowner. Kamashman, the point is no. Let's think two steps ahead. You see him breaking into the home, you know what he's up to, you kill him. The roidev, he's considered a roidev. Afilu acher nami, even a stranger can kill him. So that's understood. But what about the second part of the Ibrahim? Velo umeis. Umeis means you can kill him any way you want. What's the point of mentioning this? We already know this from the Halacha that you can kill a murderer in any which way you can get to him if you can't get him the standard way. The Sani, we have a Ibrahim. A person who strikes and kills, kill him any way you want. Perhaps you can only apply the proper death. The appropriate form of Misa, the Sayef, right? Perhaps if you can't get him that way, Bezdin could kill him anyway. That's the double lashon. So once you learn from there to the Bava Machteres, answer is Shani Hasan, Dama Kro Mesumas. Well, we have extra pasuk there. Perhaps it's limited to that case, not here. What do you mean? Let's learn from there. The answer is Mishum Dahava, Reitzeach. We have two examples. One is Reitzeach, like we just mentioned. Megoyel Adam. A relative pursuing the murderer of his relative, that was done by Shaygi. So there as well, we know that the Goyal Adam can kill him anyway. So it's a double reference to the same point. Two psukim teaching the same concept. And whenever that happens, we can't extend it further. Then we have to limit it to those two cases. And therefore, we need a special pasuk that a roidev can be put to death anyway. Turn around on. Okay, machteres, he's tunneling into the home. And the other machteres. So perhaps it's only because he's, actually breaking into the home. What about if he's getting through the roof or the yard, or he's breaking into some storage facility? Which means to say anywhere, any type of intrusion, he's liable to death. So why does the pasuk mention machteres? Typically a ganav is tunneling into the home. Tani yidach, machteres, the same braisa. Eli la machteres, perhaps only this way. Gagel, chatzir, kafif, menai, he's breaking through other facilities. What about that? Tavoloima, yimotzi, aganim, kamok, anywhere you find him, it's the same story. Kema tavoloima, machteres, why does the pasuk specify machteres? Machtarta, yizui asrasa, the fact that he's putting all this effort to break into the home, that is in lieu of warning. You see, he's being made an effort, so to speak, to actually make this effort and break into your house. You don't have to warn him. He knows good and well what he's doing. And you can just kill him on the spot. Amar Rav Huna, Katan Haroidev. Oh, even a minor, underage, who's chasing somebody and threatening him. Nita, Natsila Benafshi, can save the victim by killing the Roidev, killing the Katan. Because Rav Huna holds, you don't have to go through the formal, you know, warning and an acknowledgement and rejecting the warning. That whole process doesn't apply to a roidev. Otherwise, a katan is not old enough, mature enough to sort of, you know, address that, right? And accept hasra. So since a roidev does not require hasra, loishna gadol, loishna katan, therefore it applies even to a gadol or even a katan. Remember Mishnah, Yotzer Roisha. The newborn's head came out, and mother is now in danger for some reason. Do you kill the child to save the mother? Hey, no, you can't touch the child. You know why? We don't push away one life to save another one. Why? Roidefu. He's pursuing, he's about to cause his mother death. And if a cotton does not need asra, right? Even a cotton can be killed as a roidef, so then Shani Yosin answers, it's very different. It's not his fault. The Mishamayu Karat Filo. She's being pursued by heaven, meaning it's a natural phenomenon. You can't blame the unborn child for that. He does not have a status of a roidev. Neimam Seile, perhaps you can support Rav Huna's idea that a katan is considered a roidev from the following price. Roidev. She roidev acha chaver lo hergoy. Reuben is chasing after Shimon. Oimer lo yisol. Levi says, what are you doing? Rei, she Yisrael. Take a look, you're chasing a Jew. When Brisu, he's one of ours. He's a practicing give. A Torah, Omer, Torah says, listen, you're putting your life on the line. Well, that'll kill you now. Shevech dama adam ba'adam lami yishavech. Right? Omer, Torah, Hatzel dama shazeh. But dama shazeh, the pasuk is saying, save this one by killing that one. And that's it. Now you have a green light to kill him. Now, typically, by hasra, the violator, the offender, has to actually acknowledge and reject the hasra. I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. He didn't do that here. Because the Brisa describes a step-by-step play here, and there's no mention of a rejection or a verbal, you know. Says the Gemara, there's no right from here that a roidev requires no hasra. Hahi, because that Brisa is going like a razor bidehi, who says, hasra is not really a formal process, it's just about awareness. And here he's aware, because he just told him. The Sani received the Amen. A chaver, a learned fellow, ain tzarech asra, never needs to be warned for anything. What's the point of asra? It's only lahaf mishag lemeid to discern between a purposeful act and an act of you know, of an accident, right? But if he knows, then it's okay. And you know he knows, and it's just as good as asra. To Ashmai comes another raya regarding this concept. Roidev, shoya, roidev, acha chaver laharka, right? So Reuben is chasing Shimon, Amaloi. So Levi says to him, Rei she Yisraelu, ben brisu, atayr amra, shreveh dam adam adam yishafech. Right? So now, im ama yodea nishu kain. So if the roidev says, well, yeah, I know, I'm aware of this, potter, then it's not enough to kill him. Aman askin ani ois, I'm still going to do it despite the fact that's a rejection, chayiv. He has now accepted the hasra, rejected it, and he's chayiv. There you go. To Kash on Rav Huna, who says, we need not bother with hasra by a roidev. Here it clearly requires it. Let's trickle the answers like this. We're not speaking about killing the roidev outright. The koi betray ibid nahar. They're standing on both sides of the river. So Levi, who's warning Reuben, the pursuer, is not really within hand's reach. He can't physically get him and kill him and preempt it. Rather, right, the lemotzi atzule, he can't save the poor guy right now. But at most, what he's trying to do is set up a court case for the future. Mike the boy, Mike. So what option does he have? The boy Yisrael Beidin is gonna, you know, pull him into the court to the Bezdin for killing Shimon after the fact. Now, if he goes to the Beidin by Asra, we have to have a proper Asra. Rav Huna was only speaking about killing a roidev on site, right? During their act. But if he's gonna take him to the Bezdin and prosecute him in the Bezdin, we need a proper Asra. The boy same on another pshat. Hamelch Rav Huna will say, I know the Amri Kitana de Machteres. You're right, this price indicates that Asura is required, but I hold like the other Tana, right? We had before the Machteres. The Amar Machtarto is Yasra Asay. Machtarto, the digging, it's in lieu of being worn. He knows good and well what he's doing. We need not resort to any further warnings. Okay, so we learned an interesting sugi about the Roidev, the Machteres. He's like Chayav Misa, therefore he's Potter from Mammon, going to Rav, to the point that even if he has something in his possession that he took, he's still Potter. It's only allowed when one feels threatened, or a good chance that he's threatened, but if it's a father against the son, the Rachmanis and the Ava overwhelms, and he's not coming to kill him, just to get his money. So therefore you can't kill him. This applies to Shabbos. On weekdays, equally, it can be killed in any fashion. According to Rav Huna, you don't need to do a hasra. But there was a brisa which indicated otherwise. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.